Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're going to be talking about Wildfire and other games. So Wildfire is a game I bought on Steam.com.
Good stuff.
I went to Steam.com, I typed in games, question mark.
And it said 14 million results. And you were like, whoa.
That's a lot. I gotta make a cup of tea. I'm gonna be here a while.
And then you wiped the sweat from your brow as you sat down with your cup of tea and you clicked on
the first one. Wildfire.
That sounds hot.
Yeah, I'm excited. No, so Wildfire is a sort of side-scrolling, pixely stealth game.
Pixely or pixel art?
Pixel art, I guess.
What's the difference?
Pixely implies...
Yeah, pixely implies that it's like, the screen looks like it's broken as you play.
Yeah, because if you describe something as hair or hairy...
Yeah, those two things are different.
Why did I go with hair?
Hair isn't a description. If I'm describing something as hair, something's wrong with me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little hair platformer.
Let's
look at my face, it's hair.
I guess another example would be if you describe something as water and you describe it as wet.
Yeah,
it's like,
I got it the first time.
This is more for Zaman. I know you're on my side. And so are the listeners. Everyone always is.
Anyway, yes. So.
Pixel art, right?
Yeah, pixel art. And also, I see it on the Switch store, games that are like, it's like, oh, it's a beautiful pixel art, and it never really is.
Mm. Ugly as hell.
Yeah, I'm often like, oh, this looks cheap. But this one looks quite nice, looks quite pretty. It's like serviceable, I suppose. It's not like the most beautiful pixel art you've ever seen, but it's like... What's that game? I reviewed it a while back.
Drift Lighter or something?
Yeah, Drift Light Galactic.
Hyper Drift Lighter?
Whatever that game was.
One that kind of played a little bit like a Zelda.
Yeah, that one was
Hyper
gorgeous.
Drift Light.
Hyper Light Drifter.
Yeah, hey! Hyper Light Drifter.
That one was gorgeous. That was super pretty.
What about Shovel Knight?
Shovel Knight's... No, I don't like the way Shovel Knight looks.
I'm with you in this one. I'm not a fan of that kind of...
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I liked it, but yeah, I couldn't really play Shovel Knight because I didn't like how it looked. It's not my style.
I haven't played it.
Of course. Anyway...
Of course. Hey, what are you saying?
What am I making a claim here about? So
I've played every game, thank you very much, except Shovel Knight. And whatever you're talking about now, Wildlife or Fire or whatever it's called.
Wildlife Fire.
Tiger. Yeah, Wildfire Festival. It's great.
Yeah, Fire Festival. Exactly. So the premise is you're in a little village, I guess, and it's like, oh, it's a big festival, and then a meteor lands. You go to investigate the meteor, and then when you come back, some evil gods have arrived. They try to burn you at the stake, but then... you touch the meteorite as well and a light glows, and then they try to burn you at the stake, and instead of burning, you get the ability to grab fire in your hand and use it, you know, with all of the other things in a level to stealth your way through it. So basically, it's kind of like an elemental game, and as you progress, you get access to the different elements and different, like, abilities with those different elements. So the fire one, you get, like, you can grab fire from any source, and then you can throw it, and then you get an ability where it bounces, and then you get an ability where you can jump and it like shoots below you to give you a double jump, etc., etc. Then you get water, and then you get earth, and that's as far as I've gotten.
If you touched a meteorite and it gave you a power,
yeah,
would you go back and touch it again and see if you got another power?
Absolutely,
yeah,
100%. I'd swallow it whole. Give me as much power as possible, baby.
Licking it's interesting because what is the difference between licking it and touching it?
For the tongue.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I want to know what power tastes like.
Yeah.
I got meteorite power. You can finally know what power tastes like.
Yeah, I know
like.
What it feels like in my stomach. I'd be scared of shitting it out a little bit, but otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What if you lose your powers?
Yeah.
Oh,
no. One thing, so each level is like you will have a single challenge, which will often be like get to the end of the level, help free imprisoned other villagers by the Duchess, I think she's called, and her guards. And then they'll have like secondary ones where they're like, don't be seen, don't kill anybody, you know, burn everything to the ground while you do it, melt all the snow and stuff.
If I just take a guess, I would say that two of the three things you just listed are things you've done, and one of them is something you have not done.
I'm so early on, I was like, I'm going to try not to kill anyone.
Yeah.
But immediately, damn.
Yeah.
It's hard not to.
What?
Because so when you set a fire, because there's like grass that you can hide in. And when you set a fire in the grass, people panic and run. But that often just makes them run off buildings and off, like, cliffs and stuff, which is not on me, but somehow I still get punished for it.
Lemmings.
They could have just got to the edge and been like, oh, my God. But they're always like, ah, it's not on me that I burnt the building and they died in. So often I'll light one little fire to, like, distract someone or whatever, and it'll just catch all the vines and the whole level will be burning.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like
your
fault.
That's not my problem. Yeah. If you light a
little... Poor level design. It's the game developer's fault. Not
if
me,
light
Jackson
one
Bailey.
Tree in a forest and it catches the other trees. It's not your fault the forest burned down. It's the fires, I guess I'm claiming.
Or are you blaming the trees?
I don't know.
Are you blaming the trees, the fire, the game?
Whatever it is, it's not me. one thing that I feel like the game is missing is like a knife or a weapon that's not one of the elements. No, I say this because there's one level.
One thing the game is missing is just no knife. I have that complaint about a lot of video games. Mario, where he knife?
If only Mario had a knife to slit the Goombas' throats. No, so.
Do Goombas have throats?
They've got a torso, certainly. They've got a stem because they're a mushroom.
Yeah.
Because
mushrooms have throats.
Because so often there'll be like sections where there'll be a guard patrolling, right? And I'll be like, the easiest thing here in like a regular stealth game would be
to slit
their throat. That's how a typical stealth game would operate. And in this one,
I've never heard someone be pro slitting throats as much as you are right now.
It's just frustrating. So often,
Zamet, not Jackson, I'm not talking to you. Okay. Would you say that this almost sounds like the video game developer was like, well, usually knives and stuff like that, but I'm going to put an interesting twist by making an elemental stealth game. Jackson's like, nah, just make it 2D Hitman.
I wish.
You want gun silences as well?
Well, because I guess what the puzzles tend to be is use the elements to like distract people to walk past them, which is fun. But I would like it if I could also be like, oh, I've distracted them, you know, in such a way, or I've like funneled them towards me, and then I can cleverly take them out this way, or I can come around the back and kind of drop down on them. So like there is a mechanic where if you drop from a height on top of somebody, it knocks them out, but it knocks them out for like a second and then they get back up again. And I'm like, well, that feels functionless to me as well. Also, for some reason, the way they measure how close someone is to dying is oxygen. And I don't understand why that is, in that like the oxygen will lower and then they'll die. But even if like, I don't know, they're pushed off a cliff or something. I don't know. It's just strange. But also see, there's a level where you're a bobcat.
That I can almost explain this. So what elements have you unlocked?
Fire, earth, and water.
And what's the last element?
Air. So what, you think I'll be able to give them air or take air from them?
You'll be able to suffocate people.
Well, I can already kind of do that with a smoke bomb that I got as an ability with
then
the
fire.
Then
that's why they picked oxygen as the health.
Yeah, but some things, oxygen isn't what they're dying of. Anyway.
Jackson, when you die, what happens? Your heart stops and
you stop breathing.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah. Every death, it's not because of blunt force trauma.
No,
or
it's
because
they've stopped breathing.
It's just stopping breathing.
No, I'm not saying that everyone who died.
I'm with you. Yeah. Everyone dies from stopping breathing.
So there's one level
I would say it's a symptom of being dead. No breath is a symptom of being dead.
That is true. Yeah. So there's one level where it's like a weird side level where you're playing a bobcat because they're just like one of the enemies in the game.
Well,
and in that,
the truck or the animal?
The animal. And in that level, you do get to attack people and it's really satisfying. But anyway, whatever. I like the...
Do you reckon they did that just to mock you? Or because
I think
they wanted to differentiate the
side
missions from
the main
mission? I think they
were like, hey, Jackson, screw you. This is what you wish was in the game. It's not even like a big complaint. I'm just like, oh, that would be nice. But no, it's become the centerpiece of my review.
Well, it's when you say lots of sensible things and one insane thing. It's very easy to pick on the insane thing.
I wish that there were more options, I guess, with the... It feels like I'm going to finish the game before I get to do everything with all of the elemental powers. Mm-hmm. Because the way you unlock more points to put into those elemental things is there's statues, kind of, I guess, almost Metroid-y. Like, there's statues holding bowls or whatever, and you go up to them and...
Drink out the bowl.
You drink out the... absolutely. Well, you take an element from the level, you put it in the bowl, you get a point for that element.
Yeah.
But there's very few of them, and I think, like, I'm 3/4 of the way through the game... And, like, I've unlocked maybe the first earth one, the first 3 fire ones, the first 2 water ones, in a way, and there's 5 for each. And I'm like, surely I'm going to get to the end of the game and be like, well, like, there's so much, you know, potential there that I didn't unlock. Possibly it's longer than that, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
it might. I wouldn't be shocked, based on the type of game, and especially if the unlocks are in the way that you've just said, that if you unlock the last element and that's not the last level, there's then an entirely new
level.
Yeah,
very possibly.
No unlocks. Mm. It's just like upgrades.
Or alternatively, I'm thinking maybe it'll be the kind of thing where it's like, hey, now you can like new game plus it and go through again and try and do the levels with like your new unlocked powers. They do a really fun thing with like all the elements feel really different. So the fire one, you can use it like for a double jump, and you can get, they're called meteor shards, and they give you like different perks, I guess. And like one of the perks is like, oh, hey, now your double jump with the fire scares people. Or one of the perks is like,
I'd be frightened.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, oh, you can set bodies on fire now.
That's
as well.
Terrifying.
That's cremation. That's very less fun scary. To just that happens drop... in real life.
Scary.
Not in a field.
Well, it can.
No one's cremation then, or just a terrible accident.
Is the body already dead?
Yes.
It's still cremation, then, I would argue.
Is it?
It mightn't be legal cremation, but it's still cremating a body.
Just setting a body on fire.
Hiding the evidence.
Depends how they died.
One of the water abilities is...
No, it doesn't. Depends on the motive. Anyway, continue.
One of the water abilities is you can take water from like a pool or whatever, and then when you drop the water back in, it like creates a bubble that you can jump in and move around. But I had one section in a level where I was like, how am I going to get past these guards? So I just led them to the water and put them both in bubbles and just kept them in bubbles as I was walking away. That was quite satisfying. And they'd like get to the top and I'd make another bubble and they'd fall out of that into the next bubble and stuff and move them around like that.
Did you miss them and they inevitably fell to their death?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Stop breathing.
There were so many guards. I had to kill them. one thing I really like about...
If you had a knife, this would never have happened.
I wish I had a knife. One thing I really like about this game is that all of the guards are ladies, and all of the voice acting is like they're women doing the voice acting. I don't know, it just feels like something that I've never seen before. Often they would do like a mix, or they would all be dudes. But they're all women. I think you're a female as well, and like that's just really fun to. I don't know, it feels kind of unique and like definitely a choice. I really like that. I wish there was more ways to make the elements interact with each other. There's probably really clever ways to play this game that I'm bad at doing. It seems like one of those games. Like there's one perk you can unlock where if you get somebody wet, you can then use the water on their body. Like you can collect that instead of having to go to a pool. And that feels like that there's definitely something you could do there. But also all you do if you hit somebody with water is they get wet. So I don't know what, like I could collect the water and make them wet again. I don't know.
It made you dry.
Yeah,
you wet
dry
again.
You off, make you wet again.
This is slightly annoying.
I think there's something I can unlock down the track where I can turn the water into ice, but I don't know. I probably, if the game reaches the end and it's like you can do it all again with different, you know, more elemental powers, I probably won't go through with it. I think that's not quite as fun. I don't know for me. But
I've never really enjoyed any game where they do that.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, you've completed the game now. Do it again.
If they were like, hey, you can do it again, and you, I don't know, there's like,
what about if you do it again and there's like a new chapter?
I would be into. If they were like, hey, and if they're like, hey, you can do it again and it'll be harder. That I could get behind. But if they're like, hey, do it again, it's exactly the same. You just have more options now. I'm like, well, I'm not as keen really. Mm. In the very last level I did, it's all bobcats, and bobcats can smell you, so even if you're hiding in the grass, doesn't do anything. But the challenge was hold a bobcat to cover your smell, so I liked that it made me kill a bobcat and carry it with me throughout the whole episode. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
How long is the episode? 22 minutes?
Yeah, 22 minutes long.
Yeah, cool. 30 minutes with ads.
It's feature length.
Feature length?
That's not feature-length television.
No, correct.
But they claim it is.
I think feature-length is usually 60 minutes on television.
Mm. Mm.
If only we were a TV network and not a podcast studio. Anyway, continue.
I say that every day. It's just a really fun kind of game. It feels like, again, there's a lot of depth that I'm absolutely not unlocking. And I feel like maybe somebody who was better at video games could.
Mm.
I feel like very often it'll be the kind of thing where... It's kind of very easy to rush to the end of the episode and not sort of explore all of the different elements.
The end of the episode.
End of the, why do I keep saying episode? What's happening? To the end of the level.
You're a TV addict, bro. Yeah. I get it. You look at that little, the idiot box, and you're like, this is me.
This is for me. Saturday Night Lineup. That's what I'm here for. All my friends. Frasier Crane. The fellas from Mad About You.
Niles, but from The Nanny.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Watch out, CC.
Watch out, CC. But yeah, I don't know. It feels
probably
a bit
the
like...
The Nanny's only big in Australia and not in America.
That's crazy because The Nanny is also one of the TV shows with the most foreign language versions in the world.
Mm.
I don't know why, but people, I guess, other than America, love The Nanny.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield!
I mean, I get it. Yeah. I love The Nanny.
Was a good Nanny accent. Rules.
Watch out, CC. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know, like, I guess it's again, probably comes down to me as a player, but I also feel like that's a weird thing in a game where you're always going to take the quickest, you know, possible route. And to make it really easy, oftentimes I will, like, finish a level and be like, wow, like, I'm at the end already, I've got the meteor. I feel like if I go back and do anything, it's not going to be as like exciting. Mm-hmm. And also, so you get spirit points, which you can like put towards more sort of basic passive abilities that aren't related to the elements. And you get a spirit point if you don't get seen, and a spirit point if you don't kill anyone.
Yep.
And obviously, I get that the game is not, you know, I would love a knife, and I get that the game's not necessarily designed around killing people, but sometimes that's the most,
having a knife, yeah.
That's like the most interesting way to use your powers. Otherwise it's just distracting people all the time. And I don't know, that kind of gets a bit stale. So I kind of feel like it's a bit weird to incentivize you not using your abilities.
Didn't you say you get a point if you, well, didn't you imply that also killing everyone in a level gives you a point?
No, no. Killing everyone in a level, you don't get a point. Sometimes there would just be like extra things you can do to get a point. Where it's like, don't be seen, or like, don't let any of the villages that you're saving die. Or
so is there like three per level, but then like two of them?
Two
are
of
the
them
same.
Are always the same, and then the third one is. And then there's a speed run bonus, which I don't know how anybody would complete them, but they're like, do it, you know, in a certain amount
of
time.
Well, it's easy. You just got to be quick.
Yeah.
Be good.
I was like, what if I did it quick. Slow and bad?
We've seen you play games before, we know.
Oh yeah.
Nothing, still manage to do it slow.
Still manage to take my sweet time. But yeah, I feel like it's kind of I get like the stealth thing, but not killing anyone often I'm like, well, I just didn't use all of my powers, and that's kind of a bummer. But again, maybe down the track with, you know, if I can unlock everything, maybe it'll be a bit different. Having said all this, it's a really fun game and I'm really enjoying going back to it. I like the voice acting, I like the music, looks pretty. I like that when you get a new power, it's because you died by that power. So you get the fire power and they set you on fire. Then they're like, well, fire didn't work, let's drown her. And then you get water abilities. And they're like, damn, water didn't work, let's bury her. And you get earth abilities. I don't know what the air one's going to be. Drop me off a cliff, maybe? I don't know. But yeah, I would give it probably, yeah.
I was dropping off a cliff.
Throwing me into the air.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Whoa, these are all ways they killed witches. Oh, they keep calling me a witch. That makes sense.
I think you figured out the game.
Oh my God, I got to go play it now.
Also, it's funny to claim you're going to get air powers from falling off a cliff when you were angry mere minutes ago about oxygen being the cause of death when people fall off a cliff.
Yeah, that's annoying. Well, yeah, but they don't fall off. They don't. Anyway. They don't die from being in the air.
That's going to sound like there was a cut, but you did that yourself. You're going to argue and then decided not.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I'm all right. I'll be okay leaving this be. Yeah, it's really fun. It's only, as far as I know, it's only on Steam. It's a kind of game that could easily come to Switch. I'm sure it will eventually. But yeah, it's a great little fun stealth platformer if that's the kind of thing you're interested in. Controls occasionally are a bit weird in that you will sprint, but if you don't specifically, you know, like often games will have like a move left and sprint and you can kind of hit them at the same time to do like a sprint, but games are like, you've got to go left and then very deliberately sprint and then you, do you know what I mean? So sometimes that kind of gets in the way.
What?
there.
So sometimes in a game, especially on like a PC with a keyboard, you will be able to kind of like roll left and sprint and do it really quickly without making it deliberately, like hitting left on the directional pad and then shift. And then you'll sprint. But in this, and you can kind of do them at once and the game doesn't really mind. But in this, quite often, I'll find that I'll go like that and I'll still be walking and then I have to take my finger off shift and hit it again and then I'll start running.
Okay, I follow.
Yeah.
And so it's not a game where you're standing still, you press the sprint button in a direction at exactly the same time.
Yeah, you can
gun
it.
It's walking.
It's like walk, sprint, and then sometimes that'll screw you. And same with jumping. You'll be like, oh, I just ran off the edge because I needed to be more deliberate with it. And you're a bit slow in the way you move, but I assume that's just because it's a stealth game. Hmm. But yeah, all in all, like four thumbs. I'm having a great time with it.
Hmm.
Again, if you're a better gamer than me, I'm sure you'll get more depth out of it than I ever will.
Hmm.
And I like that all the guards are big tanky ladies. That's cool.
It's pretty good.
Before we get to, would you... dogs have been playing. Here's a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right,
sweet ads.
Well.
Well, dogs.
I've been playing a game called Bury Me My Love on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it used to be like an iOS game, or was a game that was sort of made for mobile that has been ported into Switch. And it used to, it's like an interactive story.
Oh yeah.
The gameplay is that it is a WhatsApp style message between you and your wife, which got into like not heated arguments, but at least a discussion with my partner of, is this a video game? Great question. May I just say,
is it interactive?
Great question. Yeah, it's interactive, and you do have choices.
Okay, well that's a video game.
Yeah,
Playing, say, Morrowind and just going to one NPC and continually going through their dialogue options is a video game. This is a video game.
So, yeah, so Bury Me My Love, it's the story of a Syrian refugee by the name of Noor, and you play her husband, Majid. And Noor has to go from Syria to Europe, and through decisions and discuss, like, you know, the conversations, because usually, like, you know, one, 2 to 3 options of, like, you know, like, hey, do this, or I think you should do this. And it's really like nice in that the interaction, because it's not just like, hey, do this, and she does this. It's like, I think you should do this, and then there's like an argument of like, I didn't ask for your opinion, and you're
cool.
Yeah, I guess you didn't. I'm sorry, I'm a piece of shit. And
I will just interrupt, knowing that that is the concept of the game and that the game is called Bury Me My Love has made me stressed.
Yeah. So
I'm going to guess there's bad endings.
It's based, you know, real life.
Yeah.
Syrian refugee. Not great.
Mm.
Things. So the way it kind of operates is, again, it's all just like a WhatsApp message. And occasionally Noor sends pictures. And the Switch version, like the background will sort of change as well for that sort of picture. And you can hear the discussion. And you can kind of check the map and see where, like, which countries or where her path has gone along. And, like, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Also doing this, realize, like, I don't know where anything is, geography-wise.
That's one
like,
thing that, I mean, this will come as no surprise because I have no concept of direction except when we're traveling for some reason.
Mm.
Yeah, geography's not my strong point either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
which way's north?
Who knows?
Mm.
Up. Point. Everyone right now, point to north. Are you correct?
Mm. Yes. You look at where the moss grows on trees. Put a stick on a magnet.
Up. If you're lying down, north is up, hey?
I feel like that's wrong in a way I can't articulate.
And then there's some choices where...
if heaven's not north and south isn't hell...
Well, that's true, actually. What is? People say south when they mean hell. Mm.
Because I guess they're using your head as one of the magnetic poles.
Yeah. But only if you're lying down.
No, if you're standing.
No, if you're standing up.
Oh, wait.
Because if you're lying down,
north south is to your feet. It's Away.
Oh, no, I was thinking... Never mind. Yeah. I was thinking in a different way to you. I wasn't thinking... Anyway, yes, bury me, my love.
So there'll be some conversations, options, and you're like, oh, I'll pick that one. And then it's like, it takes the gist of what you're saying and then words it like, no, I didn't mean it like that. Oh, no.
Oh, that sucks.
Sounds like this game has consequences.
Oh, it does. I think there's like something like 17 endings or something along those lines.
That's a Joel Zammit special.
Yeah.
The games I play usually have anywhere between 1 and 4 endings. Joel Zammit's anywhere between the 12 and the 30 mark. And my average has been blown out by the fact I've played Nier Automata, which has 24 endings.
Yeah, that's true. Oof. Yeah, your stats don't really... Yeah, dude.
26 endings, one for every letter of the alphabet. I've got 6 of them.
So the way, like the first time I played through, it's a relatively like short game. You can kind of play it through, like one guest playthrough in about an hour, maybe 2 hours. So the first time I played this through...
Did you feel like you were talking to a real person?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I think...
I was scared of that answer.
The iOS one, because it all happens like over the space, you know, multiple days and different times and all that kind of stuff. And I think the original iOS one was happening in real time.
Oh, wow. That's intense.
I was reading some reviews about this and it was like, yeah, it would happen in real time. And I'm like, that would be too stressful for me. No, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll get into that a little bit later, actually, when it comes down to this idea of, you know, game versus message. Mm. And it's kind of like, yeah, I'm telling this kind of cool
message.
Are
we going to get into the conversation, are games art?
Are games art, indeed? No, of course they are. So the first time I played it through, I was sort of a little bit more flippant with my decisions. And I was like, yeah, do this. Yeah, whatever. All this kind of stuff. So my beautiful wife drowned. And I got a voice message of that happening.
Oh, my gosh.
And her telling me that she loves me over and over again. And they just cut out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, thank you. Jesus Christ.
And I was like, no.
Screw that.
Yeah. So that was not fun. So then I was like, no, I must play again. So I played it again. And while she didn't get to her destination, she did get to somewhere that she was safe, and it was kind of like the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, okay.
And so it was like, okay, it did feel like it potentially like it could have kept going, but you know the game has to end sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was like, well, there's now a good point of ending. And I think she ended up in like somewhere in France, and it was just kind of like, okay, well, we're dealing with this now.
Yeah.
And there was like a refugee camp, and it was being torn down, and there was no journalist there to say like to show all this kind of stuff happening. So everyone was just kind of copying it. And that was kind of like one of the endings.
Yeah.
I've read up a little bit about it. There's like some times where, because Noor is a doctor.
Yeah.
There's some times where someone's playthrough was like, yeah, I had to talk her through amputating someone's arm.
Oh my
God. And I'm like, God. That's wild. I never got there.
Wow.
I'm looking at a video because I just pulled out the App Store version on my phone. And it's like, it just looks like a...
Looks like it's a WhatsApp message.
Yeah, so but like...
typing back and forth, the sound effects and all that are basically just WhatsApp messaging.
Yeah, damn. This is no good. So it's stressing me out just looking at...
It's very, very good, and it is so very stressful. Like sometimes you're like, well, that is the right decision, and it was the wrong decision.
Oh, no.
At one point, it was just kind of like, you got to kind of go, right, am I trying to encourage her to be brave or be kind of like safe? And if she's safe, then it ends up being, you know, there's potentially other problems down the line. And so there was one where it's just like, due to someone she was traveling with, she ends up just like stealing someone's passport, but then the person she's traveling with steals it off her and she's all cut, and you're just like, well,
oh man,
she did steal it from her, so you know, there's a ticket. So he's like, well, I'm gonna go down there and confront her, and you're like, you should cut your losses, but I believe in you. And but then the person she was traveling with, they get stopped by guards, and then it just like comes up with, you know, like, get out of there or go for it. And I'm like,
wow.
Go for it. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, make you run, jump the barriers, get in there now. And she did. And I'm like, I'm stressed.
Oh, damn, dude.
So
I couldn't handle this.
Very stressful.
I'm going to play it and lose the rest of my hair.
However, some critiques about it, because this is where it comes down to storytelling versus game.
Yeah.
And while I do really love the storytelling, to go and play it again and try and get either multiple endings or try and do different versions, I don't feel I have the desire, need, or want to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it does take a while to sort of set it up. And you don't know, like, what decisions mean what, right?
So you're satisfied with the sad ending you got?
Mate, look, I wasn't satisfied with her drowning, but I'm satisfied with her in, like, it's the best of a bad situation, you know?
What?
I don't think you were listening. He got out of France.
Yeah. Oh, no. Right. That ending. No, I did hear that. I thought you meant the drowning. No, I've done it twice.
Yeah.
So I played it twice. And yeah, like
the, you didn't get reunited. She got saved in France. Yes, I don't think
yeah, well, I'm never going to get reunited. I'm in Syria.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of what you want.
Mm. Yeah. She's the one going, and I think she wants to go to either Greece or...
I guess basically French Greece.
Yeah. And there are some times where it's just like... it's just kind of like, you know, the goal for her ends up changing a lot because like, the goal was always to go to a certain position, but you're like, well, like, let's just, well, that's going to seem unobtainable. So let's go here.
And there's safety like one, is, yeah. Garrett, yeah.
There was like one very stressful moment where she's like, oh yeah, we're going to cross the border. I think it was to do with, I forget where it was. But then she's like, oh yeah, we found this map that highlights these like sort of safe zones. So we're going to be crossing that tomorrow. And then you're like, okay, cool. And then you pop up and he's like, hey, Noor, was it this map by any chance? And she was like, yes. And it's like, that is the locations. Like, that's a map of an active landmine.
Oh, my God.
So don't do this. And you can kind of react in certain ways. And I'm just like, my bad.
Damn.
My bad. Is she going to get blown up? Oh, God, this is stressful. And so then, you can get angry to be just like, I'm mad at you, but I hope you're safe. But I'm very mad at you right now.
I can imagine it being the kind of game where you will play it once, and if you fail twice.
And that's the thing. I know that you can, there are some good endings, and I think it's a version of like terrible ending, fine ending, okay ending, good ending. And I think, you know, if you get a terrible ending, like I did the first time, I'm like, no, I can't leave it like that. You kind of play it
again. Voice recording of that is bad.
That is so heavy.
This is where it comes down to, I think, because every...
Was that the first time you'd heard her voice in the game?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Everything is like it's all text messages, and then when you get to the end, you'll get a voice message.
Oh, okay, cool.
And that's the kind of signify that okay, this is the game of the end.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well that played.
Oh, okay.
I think like it was nice. You know, again, it's very different. You hear a voice message. Oh, that's to symbolize this ending.
Yeah.
But there were certain times where you're like, it is clearly a voice actress sitting in a recording room playing that, as opposed to, and when you're sort of like either playing it in bed, it's like at 1 a.m. or something like that, and you're like, oh, I've been playing it. You know, you're just kind of reading it.
Yeah.
And the volume, turn it up. You kind of do miss a few things, and you can't go back and replay it, which is a little bit annoying as well.
Yeah.
So there are little tiny bits here and there, which is like I kind of want them to kind of gamify it a little bit more, so like I can replay that particular message, I can go back and sort of choose a different decision as opposed to going right back to the very start and starting again.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, would you say that probably the best thing they could do to gamify this would be add a knife?
There were times when a knife would have been really good.
Hey, just saying, some games need a knife in them.
Do you reckon that, maybe your wife wouldn't have drowned if she had a knife?
Stab the lake.
and then there are moments when you have to kind of choose to be... Also, there's like these moments where like it's weird because you're a married couple and you're just like, because, you know, she's fleeing and then she's like, okay, we have to stay here, but I'm, you know, with this person, rah, rah. And you kind of want to be like, am I jealous? but you're like, that's a very irrational kind of thing to say, but I am a little jealous.
Well, that's cool. That's good that it evoked such like a strong
this
emotional
like the
response.
Most Joel Zammett game in the entire world.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very good. And again, if you're like, don't really know much about like the Syrian refugee and all of the stuff that kind of went down, like myself, who doesn't really pay too much attention to world events, it kind of like really helps you kind of go like, oh yeah, cool. All right. This sucks. This really sucks.
Yeah.
And while, you know, my second playthrough, it was not the happy ending. Mm. It was still like, well, this is as good as it might get.
Yeah. For
sure. And quite frankly, I'm going to take the fact that she did not die as a win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of like it for the game.
Your fate? Does your fate change, or are you always the plan always for you to stay in Syria?
I'm not quite entirely sure. I think it's kind of the one where once she does like goes through, and then if she gets into a place of asylum, then again, I think it's like you are meant to the implication there, I think, is eventually you'll also apply and follow up later down the track. But like right now, it's like you don't have the money. And money is like a big thing as well, but you can't keep a track. You can only keep track of it, I guess, if you pay attention and write it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, and also like she lies, which is great. Like,
oh,
she,
that's awesome.
She will omit things. But also you can omit things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's one which is like, okay, don't worry. I know you're short on cash, but I'm going to try and send you some money. And it's just like, you can be like, oh, how are you going to do that? You can be like, don't worry. Or like, well, my mother has some jewelry. And I'm like, don't worry. Just don't worry about it.
That's great.
You don't need to know. And there's some just really good moments that like sort of stand out. And I think everyone who plays it, you'll get a different version. I assume. Well, you'll look the same. Like there's a little bit of variations.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are certain like things that like, oh, okay, what happened in my story will be very different from your story. Mm. And that's what I think is really nice about it all. There are some really like nice moments of sentimentality, I guess, or like some really nice kind of poignant moments.
That aren't sentimentality,
quite...
I don't know if it's right.
It's not quite like Hartin. Like for me, she ends up at this tiny village on the border of like France and Italy, and she's just got to have to learn how to milk goats. And she's sort of doing that. Or when she did jump onto the ferry, and then she's like hit on this like camper van. As she got there, there was another refugee. Also there, it was like, shut up. And she's like, I can't leave. He's like, leave. He's like, I can't leave. And so there's kind of like, there's moments where it does elicit like a little bit of humor.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Just like, yeah, really, really nice. And it's a really solid game, I think. I think I got it when it was like $1 on the App Store back when that huge sale came about.
Hell yeah.
And I can't imagine it being too expensive these days.
$4.50 on a phone. I know that.
There you go.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's... a cheeseburger and some fries.
Yeah,
do you
absolutely.
Need that? No, you need to cry when you read your phone.
Yeah, like it is surprisingly stressful.
Oh,
it sounds stressful.
Sounds intense.
Yeah, so all up, I would say, yeah, like 4 thumbs and a knuck.
Mm-hmm.
There are just some little tiny moments here and little tiny little tidbits where that intersection between, you know, great storytelling and sort of using like this medium to tell a story and gamifying.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And it just is that little tiny bit of a crossover where you're like, I just need there to be a little bit better to either like go back in time to like, oh, make a different decision.
Yeah.
So then I'm not having to slog through so much of the kind of initial setup.
Yeah, for sure.
And as well as that kind of weird, here's an audio message that's sort of out of the blue.
Yeah.
Like, again, what would have been more traumatizing, you know, hearing this voice message or just silence?
Silence would have been pretty bad.
I don't know. The recording of someone drowning, also bad. I think it would depend on how bad the ending is, because a drowning, that's bad, especially for it to just to cut out.
Yeah.
But, like, if it's just, like, the happy ending, a voice message is probably less sad. Well, not that the death is satisfying, but, like, it's not hard-hitting to be like, hello, I'm in France.
It sucks, but I'm going to stay here to do a thing.
At least it's safe and there's a big tower.
You can milk a cow.
Milk a goat.
Yeah, sorry, I got the animal wrong.
Yeah, wrong animal. Read a book about a zoo once in your life.
Why is there a goat in a zoo?
Why is there a cow in a zoo?
All animals.
This zoo rules.
It's a farm zoo.
A petting zoo, I guess. Typically doesn't have like tigers.
You can't usually pet a cow at a petting zoo though, but you can pet a goat.
Sometimes there's calves.
Yeah, that's true. You can pet a calf and a piglet.
Yeah, not a big cow.
I went to a petting zoo recently and there
had
was
a full-grown cow.
Yeah, but I had like a baby cow that loved sucking.
Yeah, that's good.
There was a lady who just put her whole hand in its mouth. It was gross.
That is awful.
Like down to the knuckles, like into the cow's mouth.
I liked it and now I hate it.
And then I kept trying to do it to me, and I was like, I don't want this. And then when the lady had her hand in the cow's mouth, everyone was like, oh, you can tell you raise cows. And I didn't know who those people were, but it was a confusing time.
You didn't get the reference.
No.
I don't get the reference. Did the cow, like the calf was like, ah, yay, and like, like would suckle on, say, like the fingers and then just stop and be like, wait.
No, I think the cow was just like had a stupid cow brain and was like, this is an otter, and just kept sucking. And yeah, I don't know. And then I was like, do I put my hand in to see, will it be cool? But I didn't, out of fear.
It would be warm and wet.
Plus the cow smelled a bit.
Yeah. Of course, it's a cow.
Yeah.
Be nice to the cow. Cow's got a tough.
Yeah.
It's small and dumb.
Then they become beef.
So what have you been playing?
I have discovered a concept that I'm sure is not foreign to a lot of our audience, but is something that I've never really considered doing, and that is comfort video games.
Oh, yeah.
Which Yeah, so obviously with everything going on at the moment, I was finding very hard to...
relax.
Yeah, and to get motivated to try something new, I guess. Mm. But yeah, one of my housemates is very fond of doing it. Whenever she is like sick or something like that, she'll just start a new game in the one of five or so video games that she adores.
Mm.
And we'll just like play through it. Usually if you like got a cold or something like that, you can knock out a video game in a couple of days.
Yeah, so for sure.
Forget you're sick, get over the illness, you've beaten the game. So it's satisfying as well. I've never done that, but started doing it this week with Ocarina of Time.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So I say I haven't played like comfort video games, but because I've had Ocarina of Time pretty much since it was released and it was a childhood favorite of mine. As a child, I've finished it. I played it again as a teen. Like I have.
You've played it multiple times.
Multiple times. And when it got re-released on the 3DS, I played it again. Look, Nintendo are tricky. They re-release stuff and I'm like, oh.
New.
Old, yeah. But new.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm. So yeah, we've been playing through that. And in the space of 3 days, we have just dominated this game. I have never gotten as many pieces of hearts in Ocarina of Time as I have now.
That rules.
There's 7 left in the game and we're not using a walkthrough.
Wow.
That's crazy. Rules.
That's incredible.
Yeah, up to the Spirit Temple, which is the last temple before Ganon. Just, yeah. And it is relaxing just to play through a game where you're like, I don't need to pay attention to the story. Yeah. I know the story. I know how to vaguely get all the stuff.
Mm, absolutely. I'm trying to think if I have like an equivalent comfort game. I mean, I guess.
Journey?
Journey. That's true. I've played Journey quite a few times. Yeah, that's a good point.
The Long Dark.
And The Long Dark. I was thinking that as well. That's like a good, like an escape where I know exactly what I'm doing and I'm not super concerned about beating it and I know that I'm good at it, so just whatever. It's nice to do.
Joel Zammett's got My Boy and His Blob and Ape. And Ape Escape.
Yeah.
That's what he does. I was going to say Gris probably is like a something I'd go back to.
Oh, yeah.
And I had gone back to just to kind of...
Oh,
like,
what about... but you played a lot of...
And Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of the really long games that you can kind of, you never really finish, you can always just go back to. Knights of the Old Republic, you've played through that a couple of times, haven't you?
Yeah.
World of Warcraft, if you want the opposite of comfort gaming and want to just destroy your life, you go back to that.
I am often reminiscent, like nostalgic for...
a time where you had no money and no sleep, and presumably no friends except in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
That's World of Warcraft, baby.
So unfit, like... Wow, did I gain some titties that haven't left.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. That's sick.
Yeah, that rolls.
Maybe World of Warcraft's good.
For a while, also, I realized Alan Wake and Mirror's Edge were also comfort games for me.
Yeah.
Back on the Xbox 360, because they would be games that I could knock out in like a day. So
yeah.
It would be the same thing, where you're like, I'm just going to do this and just, I don't have to think, I can switch off for a bit. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's like... really, really nice. And also because like a lot of the media I consume, and this will not be a surprise to the audience, nor is it a surprise to me, I usually skew for stuff similar to Zammett with like Zammett's gaming stuff. I often go for like really hard hitting things.
Yeah.
So like when life is bad, watching movies about, I don't know, kids drowning or something, I'm like,
That's also bad.
This doesn't make me feel better. But yeah, just going back playing Ocarina of Time. When we finish that, we're going to start Majora's Mask, which will be what I was just describing, because that game's depressing as hell. And the more that you explore, the more sadness is hidden. Ocarina of Time, also something that I didn't realize, like in a couple of times I've played it, because I guess I'm paying more attention to certain things, like side quests now, I guess, rather than story beats. But yeah, there's a lot of characters that have like, there's a bit of sadness that shines through.
Yeah, that's
Majora's Mask probably shouldn't have been that much of a shock in hindsight. Like, there's one guy that just dies in front of you that's, like, hidden in the town.
Yeah, yeah, the soldier. Yeah, I know that
he's
guy.
He's bleeding out.
That's intense.
In Ocarina of Time.
Oh, yeah.
He tells you something, and then you try and talk to him again, and he's like, he's not moving.
Is Ocarina of Time your favorite Zelda game?
Probably not, but it would be...
If I had to pick a Zelda game for you, for some reason, Twilight Princess is the one.
No, I've only played that... Like, I've played that to completion once, and I've never touched it again.
Huh.
Majora's Mask, I adore, but I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
I also... Yeah, probably Majora's Mask. Wind Waker also I really love, but again, I've only finished that once. Majora's Mask I finished twice.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Majora's Mask.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
I'd say Ocarina of Time. I would like to say Wind Waker. It's like Wind Walker. That doesn't sound right at all. Wind Waker. But again, I never played it.
Mm. Yeah. Looks beautiful.
Yeah, it does. It looks like right on my alley. If they ever release that on Switch, come on, Mr. Nintendo.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, the HD remakes are right there.
Yeah, we should just get a Wii U.
They'll get ported soon. I just think that Nintendo are probably... You know what? I say that confidently, but if it was Sony or Microsoft, yes, 100% lock it in. It's Nintendo, even though they're right there and they're pretty much optimized for the Switch and good to go.
Yeah.
Will they release them? No.
I think if we're getting Mario HD releases for the Switch or whatever, like for Mario 64 and Galaxy.
Hey, guess what? Not confirmed. That's a rumor. This year is almost halfway done now.
That's true.
Still no announcement. This is the 35th anniversary. Are those coming? Probably not.
Yeah.
Also, Metroid Prime Trilogy was rumored heavily to be released on the Switch last year as an apology for delaying Metroid Prime 4. Nothing. Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, a lot of things happened.
Yeah, a lot of stuff's gotten in the way of bringing me Super Mario Galaxy.
But they also announced Paper Mario with a 2 week,
that
a 2 month,
incredible. Hell yeah.
2 month announcement.
Yeah, so
date,
you never know. I feel like if they do release some of the old Mario games, we won't get those Zelda games. That's my feeling. We get one or the other.
I reckon we get both, and I reckon because Zelda is 1 year younger than Mario.
Oh, so next year we get.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking as well. If they do like a 30-30 thing.
I hope they release Spirit Tracks and nothing else.
Well, that's another thing. Like port the because that's something that a good example of this is, I guess, Kingdom Hearts and Metal Gear Solid, where they've had side games that weren't released on main consoles that they then ported to the
main console.
And yeah, they don't look as good, but like at least you can play them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe a Phantom Hourglass Spirit Tracks double pack would be good.
I love the music of Spirit Tracks.
Bundle them together with Wind Waker as well, because like it's the same. No, it's not the same.
It's the same
link,
graphical style, I guess.
It's the same time.
Call it
line.
The Zelda Boats and Trains bundle.
Phantom Hourglass, I'm pretty sure, is the same link. Yeah. But then Spirit Tracks the descendant
happened,
of that link.
On the new Hyrule and there's train goblins or something.
That rules. I can see why that's your favorite Zelda.
It's great.
That,
and then
Cap?
Minish Cap. Minish Cap is my all-time favorite Zelda game.
Because you can get little.
Because you can get little, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a sexual thing, we know.
Confirmed.
Lock it in. Ocarina of Time is really, really good. I know that...
That's not a controversial
statement. Yeah, claiming that one of the generally accepted best video games of all time is good. But, like, a lot of the stuff that should have aged really badly hasn't.
Mm.
Like, even, like, the art style and stuff like that. Like, it's sure, it's 90s 3D graphics, but it's not that awful. There's barely any moments where you're like, phew, what's going on there? And like the layouts of everything kind of makes sense, which is something that Nintendo 64 games
often didn't care
fall
about.
So like Banjo-Tooie is a good example of this. When that came out, everyone lost their mind. But if you go back and try and play it now, it is a nightmare because it's so big, but there's no map.
Yeah.
Which is something that video games just did.
Mm.
Where Ocarina of Time, everything's got a map.
Yeah, that's true.
The layouts, again, are relatively straightforward. Puzzles are sometimes complicated, but are doable. Even things that I thought were a nightmare, like the water temple and getting Big Goron Sword, they're tricky. You need to know what you're doing, but they're not impossible.
Yeah,
it's
I found when I replayed years ago Ocarina of Time, I found the water temple nowhere near to be as difficult as people made it out to be.
The water temple is a nightmare if you're not paying attention to where the water... Like, this is not a hot take, but basically in the Nintendo 64 version, it doesn't mark out where the levels change the water level up, where in the 3D version on DS, they just added a path so you can see... So you can keep track of where
that
you change
would be
water levels.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, Water Temple, pretty much no enemies because it's basically a puzzle dungeon.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Sun Temple, the Light Temple.
Spirit. Spirit's Shadow?
Maybe. I remember one of them like towards the end game. That
so
was
Shadow and
one.
Spirit of the Lost.
The one that I stopped playing Ocarina on.
In the Spirit Temple.
Yeah, it might have been. Was that the annoying one?
The one where you hover boot your way into the temple.
That's a Shadow Temple, and that's my favorite one.
That great aesthetic, I just kept dying and gave up.
That one's probably the easiest temple. You're dumb. Anyway, more questions about the Spirit Temple.
I'm just remembering, there was one where I'm like, I had to use a guide because I was a dumb little baby kid.
Mm.
So I forget which one.
If you fire up a guide, you are a loser and are bad at video games.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. But look, in my defense, little baby.
Mm. Sam was an, he was like two.
He was an infant.
Yeah. I was chewing that 64 control.
In 2001, Joel Zammit aged two.
Joel Zammit is 18.
Yeah.
Wow, you've accomplished a lot for a teenager.
Don't think that's
as a grown man, it wouldn't be proud. Yeah, I don't know. This is really highlighted that maybe I should go back and play some of like games that I really liked. In my head, I'm like, oh, what's a new game that's come out? Or like, what's something I could replay? I'm like, oh, the Bioshock collection just came out again. Maybe I could play through that. No, stressful. Depressing and stressful.
Absolutely.
Quite stressful. Like a hack and slash, like Diablo. Either no, or a Diablo clone. Really played like those are pretty easy games for me. Like if you're kind of just like tuning out to.
Yeah.
Stand.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what I could go back and replay.
Bad, demon bad.
Yeah. Oh, no. Boom, done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really makes you think.
But it's good. Those, having those comfort games is important.
Maybe Super Mario 64, since my Nintendo 64 set up. Or, I mean, my GameCube's also set up. Maybe I could play, like, Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yes. Great.
Yeah. I guess Tony Hawk games I have gone back and beaten a million times.
Yeah.
So maybe I confused rad gaming with comfort gaming.
Maybe.
Mm. So how many thumbs does comfort gaming get?
Yeah. It's 5 thumbs. It is so nice to play something and just, like, dedicate your entire life to beating a thing you've already beaten.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Just drink a coffee, sit back, relax, play some Zelda, find some things like, oh, it's a bit sad. Get stressed knowing that Majora's Mask is around the corner. It's all good. Can't wait to review Majora's Mask in the future and be like, oh, guys, I was wrong.
Whatever the opposite of comfort gaming is, I'm doing it.
Yeah, because also I did just keep saying that like I'm worried to go back to Bioshock because I know that it's depressing and I know even though if I ignore the story, its aesthetics are depressing. Yeah. Majora's Mask it's is exactly the same, thing.
Yeah, yeah. Even plus, plus you're a kid, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, and a kid's having to deal with like
death. You don't
death.
Get old.
Your bones break when you transform.
That's intense.
Yeah, Majora's Mask is a wildly unpleasant game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when you put on the transformation mask, you can hear like bones break and like Link screaming.
Yeah, he hates it. Yeah. But he knows he's got to do it to get that sweet Goron roll.
Yes. I've
never noticed that.
Yeah, it's...
That's...
Grizzly.
Yeah, it's like... and then yelling.
That's right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, his whole body is changing.
It's changing. Yeah. Look, it makes sense from a body horror perspective. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, but from a magic perspective, Majora's you're like, oh,
Mask
it happens.
Rules so much. Wow. Nintendo went down a really... I think Nintendo in the late 90s to early 2000s were depressed.
Yeah, they were sad.
And it shows. Because, like, what's it called? Eternal Darkness? It's a GameCube game.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was like nearly a launch title, and it was like a Nintendo-developed game, and everyone was like, oh, no.
This is grisly. Yeah.
And the game plays tricks on you.
Yeah,
I have that, and I've never played it. Maybe I'll play that. Maybe the opposite of comfort gaming. Yeah. Ruin my life!
Yeah, stress game.
Anyway, comfort gaming 5 stars, stress gaming 5 stars, video games 3 stars,
Oh no, I was going to be like, man, we've gotten to like 14 thumbs, but now we've got a star system. This is all too confusing.
5 thumbs for comfort gaming, 5 thumbs for stress gaming, 3 thumbs and a knock for video games.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, that brings today's score up to maybe 20 knucks? I don't know.
20 knucks.
Cool. 20 knucks. Let's call it 20 knuckles.
Yeah, 20 knuckles.
20 Sonic and Knuckles.
Sonic and Knuckles at the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
And on that note,
I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel. Video games.
Isn't it Sonic and Mario at the Olympic Games?
Stay safe out there.
Did he replace Tails with Mario?
Tails is still around.
On the phone, it's Sonic at the Olympic Games, so Mario wasn't invited to portable versions. Makes you think.
What country does Sonic represent?
Why are you not talking into the microphone?
That's a question for you, my friend, not the audience.
Audience, stop listening. This is secrets now. Thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.